was in my youth group when I was a youth minister, and now she's off at Baylor University. She's come to be a part of our summer program. Thank you, Stella, for reading the word to us this morning. So sweet that we have this program. So sweet that we have so many amazing, talented, gifted leaders to be here at Grace for with us this summer and throughout. Grace and peace to you, saints. Did you wake up this morning and look at the mirror and say, grace and peace to you, saint? Some of you are like, I woke up like, you sinner. How dare you? We must get to church, for you have fallen very short. And yet, this scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing to a church like Grace and calling everyone saints. Many of us do not correlate ourselves as saints. In fact, we use this phrase so often. I think of Elaine Klein right here, who does a bazillion and a half things for this church. All of us in this room would be like, oh yeah, Elaine is a saint. And yet, out of her very mouth, you will hear her say, well, I'm no saint. How many of us, in the midst of our giving and our serving and our own ministry in our lives, say, well, I'm no saint? Friends, I'm here today to remind you that you are indeed a saint. Even if you feel like the biggest sinner in this room, God calls you a saint. God equips you for holy living. This new sermon series that we're kicking off today for the next several weeks is called Holy Living. And this sermon series is not dedicated to how to live a life of purity and performance and perfectionism, because that's not what holy living is. This is not a holier-than-thou type of stance that we want you to hold in the world. No, this is about showing up with your presence. This is about simply offering grace. Grace to yourself, and grace to the world that you encounter every single day. This sermon series is dedicated to showing you that how you're living, even if you feel like it's the messiest life ever, is holy. How you show up with your breath, how you show up with your words of kindness, how you show up, period. How you show up is a holy living, is a demonstration for the world to see. And even when you feel like you're missing, even when you feel like you're falling short, it's a moment of holy teaching, of holy presence among other human beings just trying to figure out this life that we live. This holy living is to remind you that you are indeed a saint, simply for being who you are and belonging to God. Now, the title of today's sermon is called Sanctified. Everybody say that word with me, sanctify. Did you like that word? Maybe you did. Honestly, there are so many people who love this word. It's a great word, theologically rich and deep. Apostle Paul talks about sanctification all throughout the epistles and this process. But if I'm being transparent, and quite frankly, I don't know how to be anything other than transparent, when I say sanctified, I feel like I just put a lime in my mouth. It's just this, I don't like that. And the transparency part is because I was taught this word from a pretty condemning perspective. I had no idea about this word until I was in college. I went to a private Christian university. I had a great, wonderful experience. And I remember one night specifically, I was at a Bible study, and I had never heard the word sanctified. And I was like, what does this mean? And the person who took the role to teach me what sanctified was wasn't a professor, wasn't a teacher, wasn't a mentor, but was a peer. And I admire the courage to try and teach such a lofty and intimidating term. And yet, the way they taught it to me made me feel impure, made me feel imperfect, made me feel unworthy, made me feel like, whoa, college life is actually not great? Like, what am I? I'm a curious 20-year-old, and you're condemning me with this word sanctified, practically telling me that the way I was living, what I was doing, who I was hanging out with, who I was being around was not holy at all, but was simply sinful. So in my mind, I stored this word sanctified. I said, yeah, you know, maybe when I'm like 90, I'm in a home somewhere reading my Bible day and night, I can claim that I am sanctified. But for the rest of my life, I'm just going to live into this sinful route that I've been given. But as I've studied, these epistles, as I've leaned into what it truly means to be sanctified, in this process of sanctification, I've come to love this term. Because this term is not one of condemnation at all. This term is one of invitation. This is one of a continual evolution and a process. Because when I hear the word sanctified, I think of one-time event, right? Like many of us that have been baptized, we say, I was baptized. And that refers to one time in your history. That refers to one time when you were at a river in the mountains or on a mission trip near the ocean or here in worship with a baptismal font. When you say, I was baptized, you think of the one-time event. And so when I think of sanctified, I think of, well, what's the one-time event where I become pure and perfect and sanctified in the eyes of Christ? But when we say we are living into our baptism, we are living into a continual call, every day being washed by the waters of creation. Even when we fall short, even when we do things that we regret, even when we make the biggest mistakes of our lives, we are still washed and held by those baptismal waters. Just as much as sanctification is this ongoing process, continually refining us. Just as a stone in a river is continually washed over with water, and that water over time will smooth the edges of every rock and every stone. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week. But a lifetime of the waters of grace rolling over you, you are in this sanctification process. You, saints, are being sanctified every day. Even the days that you go out into the world and you come home and you go, ah, why did I say those things? Why did I act that way? Why did I get so angry? There's a water of grace still washing over you, continually teaching you. And in those moments, you gain knowledge. A knowledge that the Apostle Paul refers to in this letter, saying that as we continue to live our lives, we will gain this knowledge of God. You see, the purpose of these letters, and specifically this letter to the Christian Colossians, is exactly that. Paul is saying Christianity is not this one-time event. You have not arrived. It is an ongoing learning, an ongoing lesson, an ongoing discipline and community that you are all living in together. And so Paul, from a distance, is still teaching them that you are not holier than thou, but you are with. The word sanctified, it means set apart. Set apart. We're not set apart from the world. And I want to emphasize that we are set apart for the world. That you are set apart and equipped with the Holy Spirit for the world. Not to stand on your own hill condemning the world of all their sinful nature and sinful living. No, you're set apart to live in the world so that the world can witness a type of grace, a type of kindness, a type of justice that isn't often highlighted on our media. We are set apart for the world. When I have a sermon idea that I can't quite get laid out flat, I often refer to my husband. I really respect and value his opinion, also because he used to be a pastor. He's a pastor turned therapist, which shows that he identified a big need for mental health in the church and in the world. Anyways, enough about him. I was wrestling with sanctified. And he doesn't have the baggage around this word that I do. And so I'm talking with him, and I was like, I need help with like an image to help people. This is such a lofty, intimidating term that we say in church and sounds so theological, but like what helps people grasp what it means to be sanctified? My husband went into this beautiful analogy of diamonds and how diamonds are formed from coal, from the pressures, from the evolution, from the change over time, this whole process. I was like, man, that is beautiful. So you know what I think of? I think of pineapples. He was like, okay, where are we going with this? So hear me out. If you like the diamond analogy, just hold on to that one. But if you need something more tangible, stick with me for a moment with these pineapples. See, these pineapples, they come from this beautiful, exotic plant. And when you see a pineapple for the first time, do you remember your first thoughts of a pineapple? You're probably at the grocery store. You see this pokey, waxy, hard, kind of squishy fruit. Some of you were probably like, that's pretty intimidating. I'll just take the apple because I know I can just bite right into it. But can I bite this pineapple? But yet when you peel the layers back of this pineapple, when you take off all those sharp edges, the tough coating around the pineapple, there's this goodness and this sweetness, this juiciness that tastes like no other fruit. And whether you're in the dead of winter, you are immediately on a tropical island the moment that you take a bite of that juicy pineapple. It's a lot like us. You and I might look kind of pokey, might look kind of waxy and unapproachable at times. And yet the Holy Spirit of goodness is infused in you. That the moment that you take off all these extra coatings that the world has taught you to put up, when you let your defenses down, and allow people in, you are this sweet bearer of the image of God, set apart for the world. I'm also talking about pineapples because I cooked all week with pineapples. There was a great deal at the local market of pineapples, and I was cutting fruit into every single dish I could think of. Salsas and skewers, grilled chicken with pineapple. I hope I'm making you hungry right now. That's really the goal here. But when you're using pineapple in a dish, the pineapple doesn't take the star, doesn't take the spotlight of the dish, but it's infused in it with the other ingredients. It actually pulls out the taste of all the other ingredients within the dish. It makes everything just a little sweeter. So friends, you and I, we're rare and beautiful diamonds, sure. But more importantly, we're pineapples. You are sanctified. You have permission to take off this tough outer layer that the world says you must have up. You have permission to show up as your good, sweet self. You are invited into holy living, and that's simply asking you to be who God created you to be. Amen.